In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people, this law is not all that difficult. It's already written on your heart. Follow your instincts, because being made in the image of God, who is love, you have love within you already, so follow your heart, follow your instincts. But so often, because that can get difficult, we learn how to rationalize and come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses why we don't follow our heart. And one of the reasons we do that is because following our heart is not just quick and easy most of the time. Most of the time, it's long and hard. And we have an example of that when Jesus describes neighbor in that gospel story. The man dresses his wounds, puts him on his own animal, takes him to the inn, cares for him overnight, the next day gives money to the innkeeper to keep taking care of him, and then he's going to pay him back when he comes back the other way. It just goes on and on. And that's the problem. Because if you could just reach in your pocket and give a dollar to each person who asks, that would be so easy, but it's hardly ever that easy. Years ago, when I was a young priest, we used to call this door ministry. People would come to the door of the rectory and ask for help. And so you would listen to their story, and you would reach in your pocket and give them $5 or $10 or whatever was needed. And this came out of your own money, but it always came back to us. Somebody a few days later would give us the same amount. It always seemed to work out. But priests used to tell stories to each other about the ways that they were taken, you know, that this guy made up this story and then he went down the road and told another priest the same story, and you know, you get to talking and you find out that you were taken. And priests love to tell stories about that. But at some point it struck me, if you're going to be Christian, you're going to get taken now and then. That's the name of the game. So let's stop talking about this. Let's stop telling these stories, and let's just be generous and know that we're going to get taken advantage of from time to time. But it's more complicated than that, too. Nowadays, people come to a church for help, and their water has been shut off. And so you say, okay, what will it take to the city to get you to get your water back on? Well, they owe 6 months back pay, and then there's a fee, and by the time you get the water turned back on, it's $600. You can't just reach in your pocket and pull out $600. Or they're being evicted because they're in arrears on their rent. Well, how much will it take you to get back in the house? $1,000, you know. So we have established agencies in most towns, and Manhattan is one of the best examples I know. There's this agency called Shepherd's Crossing that was started by the various churches in town years ago. And it's set up to, first of all, vet those people to see who's probably telling a real story about their need and who isn't. And that's hard work. And you have to make some tough decisions. And sometimes you get yelled at because you made a decision that they don't like. Secondly, there are counselors there who help these people budget better. You know, the poor are often hard to love. Sometimes they smell bad. Sometimes they are ungrateful. Sometimes they are demanding and rude. And sometimes you try to help them plan better and they don't listen. But you do it anyway. And you try to treat them with respect, because any human being, any child of God deserves respect, whether they are nice about it or not. It takes a lot of work and it takes dedication and time. There's a wonderful movie that I saw back in the spring, and I doubt if anybody in this room but me saw this movie, because it didn't show at the multiplex. You had to go to an art cinema to see it. But it's called The Woman in the Van. And Maggie Smith plays this woman who is poor, and she lives in this van. And and she parks in front of somebody's house for a week or two, and then she moves down the street and parks in front of somebody else's house. And the people in the neighborhood, it's a suburban London neighborhood, and they talk about her, and it's like, okay, she's finished with my house, she's going to park in front of your house next week. And they talk bad about her, but there's something kind of instinctive in them. They just are unwilling to turn her into the police to get rid of her. So they come out to the van with food, and they try to help her, and she is appallingly rude and ungrateful. And she yells at them sometimes. And so they complain more again to each other, but nobody is willing to get rid of her because they're following their heart. Somehow or other, they deep down recognize that she's a human being, she's a child of God, and they can't just abandon her. And so this goes on for years, and the movie is based on an actual event, a true story. And eventually, she ends up moving into the driveway of one of the residents, and he just kind of unwillingly takes on responsibility for her, and she lives there for 3 or 4 years before she finally dies. Charity is not easy. And sometimes we grumble about it. And sometimes charitable organizations like churches complain about what we have to do. But this is not some law that is up in the sky that we have to send somebody up there to come down and explain it to us. It's written on our hearts. We already have this in us because we are children of God. We are made in God's image and likeness. And so therefore, we should do what is instinctive. We should love. Now, since God is love, St. John says, anyone who lives in love lives in God and God in them. We are participating in God whenever we are charitable. I had a wedding yesterday, and it struck me, there's an opening prayer that we pray almost every wedding, and it asks that these two would learn how to become witnesses to charity itself. I like the way that's phrased, witnesses to charity itself. In other words, witnesses to God by the way they love one another and by the way they love their neighbor. Well, marriage is a kind of a microcosm of the global church, the universal church. Family is a place where you live out love through thick and thin, for better, for worse. Nobody hurts each other like families hurt each other. And yet somehow there's forgiveness, there's reconciliation. It's not easy, but it can also be filled with joy. In the old pre-Vatican II marriage rite, everything was much more rote in those days, and there was a homily that priests gave at every wedding. In other words, the priest didn't make up a homily for each one. There was a set homily that he read to them. Kind of boring, as you heard this 1,000 times. But I have a copy of that old marriage homily, and I've quoted lines from it at weddings at various times. And my favorite line in there is, charity can be difficult and irksome, but love can make it easy, and perfect love can make it a joy. And when we are charitable to our neighbor, when we are loving as God loves, that's perfect love. And then the burden of this kind of fades away, and it becomes joy. This participation in God makes us children of God. It exonerates that. It makes it more perfectly evident to others and to ourselves. And so we find this inner peace, this inner joy that nothing else can bring. To participate in God is to be fully human. And Jesus showed that in his own flesh. He is the enfleshment of God. He is, as the second reading today said, he is the image of the invisible God. What does God look like in a human body? He looks like Jesus, a man who is more for the others than he is for himself, who comes not to do his own will, but the will of the Father, who is just an absolute giver. He's just pouring out all the time, and he's filled with joy, filled with the confidence that God is in him and that he is in God. And that's our destiny too. We're invited into that same filial relationship with the Father that Jesus had.